All right, we're beginning here on the top of Yud Bet Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. Mishnah is actually a consolidation of four or five Mishnayot in the Mishnayot of the Yerushalmi. The way they laid it out here, they put it all together. So now you have the Mishnah says, a makdish nechasav. Person consecrated all of his possessions. Vayuben dvarim ruin. The original gifts here probably was l'chol korbanot hatzibur. Things that were ra'oi for all korbanot hatzibur. Yinatnu l'umanim bischaran. You give them to the workers as their wages. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That was the position of Rabbi Akiva. Amarlo ben Azai. Ben Azai, who we bumped into before, Talmud Chaver of Rabbi Akiva. Hi Amida. What do you mean? You're not being consistent. Yeah, you leave out Eina. Eina was added later because people didn't understand that Hi Amida was a rhetorical question. So they put in Eina, Mihimi Amida. But the correct girso is, so Hi Amida, how could you compare the cases? How are you not consistent with what we said before? Ella, mafrishim mehen tzchar umanim. First of all, we take out the monies that we owe the umanim. Mechalin otam ma'ot umanim. Then we redeem the kodesh object onto the monies that we separated out for the umanim. V'notnim otan l'umanim bischaran. And then we give that product to the umanim, to the craftsmen, as their wages. And then the last statement here is v'chozrim v'lochim otan. It should be mitruma. Now, the way we have it in our Mishnah is HaChadasha, but it doesn't make so much sense. It should just be Mitruma HaLishka, that it should come out of the Truma HaLishka, because here we're not after the question of expiring in this year. Here is simply ending up. Somebody was Makdish something along the way. With the Torah in the previous Mishnah, we were worried about the fact that it was the end of the year, and they were Motar, and they wanted to move it into the next year. So it's probably lifted out of that Mishnah and put in here, but the truth is over here, we don't need it to be for the Truma HaChadasha, you just need it out of the Truma HaLishka. What's happening over here is similar to what happened in the previous Mishnah. The previous Mishnah, we had the excess Ketoret, which is something that has Kedusha associated with it. It's for Kavanot HaTzibur. How do we then utilize it in a way that we can now bring it back to be used for Korbanot HaTzibur? So over there in the previous Mishnah, we're trying to move it from this fiscal year to the next fiscal year. Over here, they're simply trying to get an object that was mukdash, ayadei, an individual, and then get it to be useful for the Korbanot HaTzibur, for the Tzibur to utilize over here. Rabbi Akiva just says, hand it to them. You hand it to them, and then we'll buy it back from them. Ben Azai says, wait a minute, what about the previous Mishnah? We just talked about the Torah. You can't just hand the Torah as wages to the people that work. Why? Because we said before, you can only be mechalel. You only transfer Kedusha from an object onto another object. You cannot transfer Kedusha onto intangible items. Over here, the Umanim, who are working here, are generating intangible items. It's their work. We are paying them for their labor. That's an intangible item. So Rabbi Akiva says, yes, you can do that. The source for Rabbi Akiva is based on the Pasuk, Vasulu Mikdash. The Asiya there refers to the Melacha. The fact that Melacha is called Asiya is enough to allow one to redeem onto the Melacha. So Rabbi Akiva thinks that you can do that exchange. Ben Azai, on the other hand, says, no, you cannot do that. You have to be consistent like we were in the previous Mishnah. You have to get onto a physical object. So what you do is the same thing that we did before. He just says the same thing the previous Mishnah says. But we know already what that means is that, first of all, you take out the money from the Trumat HaLishka to pay the Umanim. Then you take out the object itself, this object that's Kodesh, and you exchange that object of Kedusha onto whatever they built, onto something that's Chulin. Now that object is Chulin. Then you give that to the Umanim as their compensation. And then you buy it back with the monies of the Trumat HaLishka. That's how you get it to be worthy for the Tzibur and how you get the Kedusha off of the objects. Remember yesterday we said you can't just swap the money and the object because they're both Kadosh. And therefore the Kedusha doesn't go anywhere because you have two items that are Kadosh. So you have to remove the Kedusha from the item first and then purchase it and then give the money to the Umanim in the end. So that's what Ben Azai suggests. In the Bavli, they distinguish between Kodshei Mizbeach and the Kodshei Bedek Abayit with regards to the ability to transfer Kedusha onto tangible or intangible items. Over here, we don't have that distinction being drawn in the Yerushalmi. Hamakdish nechasav. Now, a person who's makdish his possessions. Vayubahen behema ruya gav mizbeach. Yes. Things that are ra'ui to go on the Mizbeach. That means that there are animals in there that are ra'uin to go on the Mizbeach. Zicharim unikevot. That is both males and females. Obviously, males and females have different abilities to go on the Mizbeach. The key difference is that an ola can only come from a zachar. An ola can only be a male animal, whereas an ola cannot come from any keva. And when a person's makdish nechasav, when he's makdish, then what we assume is that he wants the maximum amount to go to Hashem. So that means that if he's makdish something, we assume that he wants it to be an olah and not to be a shlamim. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is zecharim yimachru tzorchei olot. The male animals, you sell them to people who need olot. Because they have a certain amount of kudushat amizbeach here, because you're makdish them, we want you to sell them off to people who need them for korbanot, to utilize them that way. And then the monies that we receive, you'll see in some second what we do with them. And you'll sell off the females to be used for shlamim. The monies that he receives will all go to Berek Abayit. So we know already the other items, not those items that are only in the Mizbeach. All the other possessions that he has, where are they going to go? They're going to go to Berek HaBayit. So Rabbi Elijah's opinion, we're going to see that a person when he's Makdish, that only does a singular Dusha. He's not going to break it up and say, half to the Mizbeach, half to Berek HaBayit. What he means is, I want everything to go to Berek HaBayit. How do we facilitate everything going to Berek HaBayit? Well, possessions that are not Ru'i the Mizbeach, you sell them, monetize them, and you give the money to Berek HaBayit. Those that are Ru'i in the Mizbeach, we can't just have them disappear. So what we do is we sell them off to people who need them as korbanot, and the proceeds we then put into the pile for Berek HaBayit. That's Rabbi Lezer's opinion. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Zicharim atzman yigarvu olot. She says, no, if you have males that are ruim nizbech, they go on the nizbech as olot. Nikevot yimachru l'tzorchei zivchei shlamim, v'yavi b'dmehem olot. The females you sell off to be shlamim, to people who need them for shlamim. The proceeds you utilize to bring olot. Because, as we said before, when a person's makdish, we don't assume that he wants it to go to a shlamim, because a shlamim doesn't get everything to Hashem. There, part goes to the Kohen, part goes to the Balim. That's not what his intent is. His intent is he wants to get the maximum to Hashem. That means he wants an olah. So the question is, how do you facilitate an olah over here? You sell the nekevot as shlamim, and then you take the money and you purchase olot with them. Shar nechasim yiplu the berek abayit. The remainder of the objects that are not ru'im the mizbeach, they end up going to berek abayit. So it's obviously that Rabbi Yeshua believes that a person wants to, number one, maximize that which goes to Hashem. Number two is he's willing to split between Mizbeach and Berek HaBayit. And therefore, anything that's Ru'i the Mizbeach will go to the Mizbeach. Anything that's Ru'i the Berek HaBayit will go to Berek HaBayit. The question is, I think, David, you were just saying now, the question is, when a person's Makdish, if there are animals that are Ru'i the Mizbeach, which is a higher level of Kedusha, does he intend them to go to the Mizbeach rather than to Berek HaBayit? Maximize the Kedusha and the utility to Hashem. Amar Rabbi Akiva. So now we have Rabbi Akiva, who is a third generation Tana. Before we had the opinions of Rabbi Lezer, was Rabbi Lezer ben Horkunus, who is a second generation Tana, and Rabbi Shua ben Hananya, who is also a second generation Tana. So they both had statements. And then now Rabbi Akiva comes, so he's later than them, he's a third generation Tana. Rue Aniya Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, mi Divrei Rabbi Yoshua. I think that Rabbi Lezer's position makes more sense than Rabbi Yoshua. So Rabbi Lezer, he shiva et midotav. Rabbi Lezer is consistent in what he said. Rabbi Yeshua chilek. On the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua divides. Because Rabbi Lezer is consistent that everything you do goes to Berek HaBayit. There's no split, there's no change. Everything goes to Berek HaBayit, whether it's good for the Mizbeach, whether it's good for Berek HaBayit. In the end, all the proceeds end up on the Berek HaBayit. On the other hand, the way that Rabbi Yeshua has it set up, over here you actually have three different pools. You have the pool that goes to Berek HaBayit. Then within the things that go to Mizbeach, you have one thing which goes directly on the Mizbeach, another thing that you monetize, and then you use to purchase things that go to the Mizbeach. So all of a sudden you have all these different tiers of what he meant in his statement. And so Rabbi Akiva says that's less likely. When a person makes a statement, we assume that he's consistent across that statement in what he meant. And therefore I think the possibility is that Rabbi Elezer makes more sense over here. Then along comes Amar Rabbi Papias. So Rabbi Papias, who is again a second generation Tano, Shemati et Divrei Shnehem. I heard both of their statements. I don't think he means literally that he heard them. I heard the halacha that is being said by both of them, which is Hamakdish Bifeirush, someone who is Makdish explicitly, Kedivrei Rabbi Eliezer. That goes like Rabbi Eliezer. So if you specifically say, I wanted to go to Berek HaBayit, this is what happens. Makdish Stam, someone is Makdish without any qualifying statement around the Makdish, Kedivrei Rabbi Yoshua. Then we interpret his words to say, well, if it's Roy the Mizbech, it's going to Mizbech. If it's Roy the Berek HaBayit, it's going to Berek HaBayit, since he didn't qualify it, since he didn't say anything. This is somewhat akin to what I mentioned to you before in the Bavli, this split between Berek HaBayit and Mizbeach, the difference between them over here, because Rabbi Papias has some something along those lines. It's not exactly what the Babli says, but a similar in vein to what the Babli says. Then, Hamakdish nechasav, v'yu ben dvarim ru'in legabei mizbeach. It's Makdish nechasav, and amongst them are things that could go on mizbeach. Over here, not behemot, but rather yenot, shmanim, ve'ofot. You have wine, oil, and birds. Rabbi Eliezer omer, yimachru l'tzorcheo to'amin. You sell them off for usage or utility in this area, I mean, for what they need to be, nesachim, and for the shemen and the ofot to be used by people on mizbeach. And then you bring with their proceeds, olot. So here, Rabbi Lezer is not consistent with what he said before, so obviously we'll have to reconcile or deal with that.
And therefore, most have over here the Girsa as Rabbi Elazar, who is Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, not Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus, who we saw earlier in the Mishnah. And that would resolve the problem, because otherwise you can't really reconcile between these two pieces of the Mishnah.
Right, so that's the Mishnah laid out. We have opinion of Rabbi Kiva ben Azai, who argue about the ability to redeem Kedusha on intangible items. We had the next piece, which is a machlok between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, with regards to a person's Makdish Nechasav Stam. What does he mean? We had Rabbi Akiva favoring the position of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Papias, who tries to bifurcate the din and say Rabbi Eliezer applies here and Rabbi Yeshua applies here. And then we had the last statement of Rabbi there with regards to Yenot, Shmanim, and Ofot, which we'll get to in tomorrow's daf. And now the Gemara says, Amakdish, the Korbanot HaTzibur. This is a machlok we saw in yesterday's daf. Rabbi Yochanan says, what is the meaning of something that you're Makdish, the whole Korbanot HaTzibur? What do you mean? We already have, right after that, you have behemot, yenot, shmanim, and ofot. What's left over that you don't have there? So Rabbi Yochanan Amar, ktoret. We're talking about the ktoret. That's what we saw in yesterday's daf. Rabbi Yochanan says that this is referencing the ktoret, because Rabbi Yochanan believes that you can't have personal donations of ktoret, because ktoret can be made bechulin, and then brought and be mukdash to be for the tzibur. Amar Rabbi Hoshaya, this probably does not belong over here, it's carried over from the sugya before. Rabbi Hoshaya, yesterday, fifth generation Amora in Eretz Yisrael, Tipater Be'uman, and again over here, whether it should be Michel Beit Avtinus, doesn't necessarily make sense, because the way that we had it yesterday was, the people of Beit Avtinus don't take it as their work, this is, we need someone who's building the binyan, to exchange the Kedusha onto it, so it's probably just should be Be'uman, that he got received it, the ketoret, as payment. And if you do that, you end up with a situation in which the ketoret was made b'kedusha, was done properly, then it was paid out to the uman, and now the tzibur is buying it back. So it was never used or made in the hands of a yachid, and that's why it would be okay. Now yesterday we needed this to support the position of Shmuel, or disagree with Rabbi Yochanan, as to how could you have a possibility that ketoret always has to be made b'kedusha, and not made b'chulin. Here's a way to solve that problem inside of our Mishnah. So now, obviously, the Pashtuta Mishnah, the Chol Karbanot HaTzibur, literally means the Chol Karbanot HaTzibur. Rabbi Yochanan is trying to, based on the successive Mishnayot, trying to make it that the Chol Karbanot HaTzibur is really referencing Ketoret, because then that has meaning within the context of his position, that you're able to get a Yachid to give something to the Tzibur. Rabbi Hoshaya just says, I can show you that that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. Right now we have the machloket between Ben Azai and Rabbi Akiva, which is my time of the Ben Azai. What's the reasoning behind Ben Azai's position? Shein ha'ekdesh mitchalel al ha'melacha el al ma'ot. The only way to transfer kedusha is onto physical objects. You cannot transfer kedusha onto intangible objects like wages or melacha. Again, we said that Rabbi Akiva's position is not like that, which is that he believes that Hekdesh mitchalel ha'malacha, because it says, Vasuli mikdash, shetiyeh ha'malacha nasit min hekdesh. So that Vasuli mikdash is malacha, can be kodesh. And therefore, the transference of the kedusha can go onto these intangible items, which is this Skaru Manim. Again, the Bavli distinguishes between Bedek Abayit and Kedushat Halishka. Over there, there'll be a difference between whether you can transfer onto intangible or only onto tangible items. Alright, Taman Taninan. We have a Mishnah over there. Over there is in Tmura. You're missing the first half of the Mishnah, which would have given you the sense of what's happening here. The Mishnah in Tmura is comparing Kodshei Bedek Abayit versus Kodshei Mizbeach. And in the Mishnah it says there are certain things that Kodshei Bedek Abayit is more chamor, certain things that Kodshei Mizbeach is more chamor. So here, we're entered into the Mishnah in the middle, which is Yesh B'Kodshei Bedek Abayit. These are the things that Kodshei Bedek Abayit have in excess or more chamur than Kodshei Mizbeach. What are they? Number one, Shestam Hekdesh Od Bedek Abayit. When you makdish something without any qualification, Stam Hekdesh goes to Bedek Abayit. Hekdesh Bedek Abayit Chalal Hakol. Number two is, Kodshei Bedek HaBayit can take effect on any item. It doesn't affect just things that are ruling the Mizbeach. It can affect any item. Even things that are not ruling the Mizbeach, Kodshei Bedek HaBayit takes effect on. Umo alim gidulehen. You are mo'el in gidulehen. Gidulehen is their byproducts or their offshoot. Number one, that could be a child that's born to them. That could be milk, eggs, anything that's a product of the item that's Kodshei Bedek HaBayit. With regards to Kodshei Bedek HaBayit, those are included in the Kedusha. And therefore, you have a problem if you're Mo'el, if you utilize those items. Ve'ein behem chanaya de kohanim. And the kohanim are not the beneficiaries over here. With karbanot, even if it's an olah, they are beneficiaries. They get the skins by the olah, by other karbanot, they are beneficiaries. Over here, by Kodshei Bedek HaBayit, the kohanim have no benefit out of Kodshei Bedek HaBayit. So now, Amar Rabbi Chananya. So now, Rabbi Chananya, who, according to most, really is Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama, the first generation Amora in Eretz Yisrael, that Mishnah in Tmura, the Rabbi Elazar he, is authored by Rabbi Elazar. How do we know it's authored by Rabbi Elazar? De Tanina. De Tanina, he's going to quote our Mishnah, to prove the fact that this is the position of Rabbi Elazar, because Hamakdish Nichasav, Vaita Ben Beimaru Uya Agabi Mizbeach, Zicharim Nikevot, Rabbi Elazar Mer, Zicharim Yimachul Tzorchei Olot, Nikevot, Yimachul Tzorchei Zivchei Shlamim, Udmehem Yiplum Shar Nichasim Leperek HaBayit. So here we just have a quote from our Mishnah that we read before, but what it says is that when you stam makdish nechasav, the assumption is that the Kedusha goes to Bedek HaBayit. And therefore Rabbi Elazar insists that everything goes to the Bedek HaBayit over here, including the animals that are ruim the Mizbeach, they're going to go to Bedek HaBayit, or their proceeds are going to go to Bedek HaBayit, because stam hekdesh is the Bedek HaBayit. So Rabbi Elazar must be the author of that Mishnah in Tmura that says stam hekdesh is the Bedek HaBayit. So now, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, we have Rabbi Yochanan, a second generation Amor in Eretz Yisrael. Taima de Rabbi Eliezer. What is the reasoning behind Rabbi Eliezer's position in the Mishnah? Because we have in the Pasuk, Ish ki yakdish et beito kodesh l'Hashem. When a person is makdish his house, kodesh l'Hashem, what will happen then? The Pasuk lays out for you exactly what the procedure is afterwards, which is Ish ki yakdish et beito kodesh l'Hashem, v'richo ha-kohen ben tova ben ra, kasher yechoto ha-kodein kin yakum. So here we have a procedure for when you makdish your house. The only problem is Beito really mean his house here? But meh anu kayamim. What are we talking about here? In the Beit Dira, if we're talking about his dwelling place, his house itself, Farkativ. We already have a pasuk that covers that, which is a pasuk in the same parak, two pasukim later, which is, Ve'ema makdish igal et Beito, ve'yasav chamishito kesef erkechala ve'yalo. So already have the procedure for igal et Beito. So Beito as a house, already have a procedure for it. So Beito over here must have a different meaning than it does in the subsequent pasuk, where it says Igalit Beito, where there literally means Beito. Ella, ki anan kayamim, what are we going to say that's talking about? Bimakdish nechasav. It's a case where he's makdish his possessions. It means Beito can come in two forms. Beito can mean your house, the physical house, or Beito can mean your house in the sense of your possessions, meaning everything that's in the house. So therefore, the two psukim, one pasuk's talking about the physical house. We have a procedure for house. House, we know, goes to Bedek HaBayit. The question is, what happens to the possessions, the contents of the house? So now we have a second statement that tells us what happens to the items that are in the house. Now the question is, what does that mean? So the Gemara says, oh, mikan, shestamek deisho the Bedek HaBayit. From here you conclude that stamek deisho go to the Bedek HaBayit. Problem is that there's nothing in there that proves that it goes to Bedek HaBayit. It just says, if you're Makdishit, then you have to assess the value of it. So what the Gemara says is missing from the statement over here is that the Gemara says, Kianan Kayamin b'makdish nechasav, and then the Gemara should say, Kodesh l'Hashem. Because in that pasuk it says, V'ish ki yakdishit beito, Kodesh l'Hashem. So now that's the proof point. The proof point is that how do I know that it goes to Bedek HaBayit is because it's Kodesh l'Hashem. Kodesh l'Hashem means that it's going to be given to the usage of the Mikdash fully, which is the Bedek HaBayit. And that's what it means, not for Karbanot, but for Bedek HaBayit. That's what Kodesh l'Hashem means. And so therefore, that's the concluding piece here, which is Kodesh l'Hashem, Mikan, Shastam Mekadeshot, the Bedek HaBayit. If you're Makdish Nechasim, the underlying assumption is that it's Kodesh l'Hashem, that it's going to go to Bedek HaBayit. And that's what the Gra says in Otal, if you can see that, Makdish Nechasim, Kodesh l'Hashem, Shastam Mekadeshot, the Bedek HaBayit. It's from the Kodesh L'Hashem that's the proof point in the Pasuk, which is missing here in the Gemara. That's what you need to know in order to get to that conclusion. So that's what the Gemara does in order to straighten out the Gemara, make more sense out of it. Now we have Amar Rabbi Zeira, or really in the Yerushalmi, it's really Rabbi Zura, who is Rabbi Zeira, third generation Amora. In the name of Rav Huna, which is Rav Huna from Bavel, second generation Amora in Bavel, B'Shem Rav, who's a first generation Amora in Bavel. So you have Rav Huna Merav, which is from Bavel, and then you have Rabbi Zira, who brings it into Eretz Yisrael. A third generation Amora brings it into Eretz Yisrael. Bame Piligin. Where is this machlok between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua? So he says, v'makdish nechasav. It's exactly what it sounds like in our Mishnah. When he's makdish nechasim, that is where they argue. Aval, v'makdish edro. If he was to go and makdish his flocks, kol amam odyei shehu l'mizbeach. Kulei Alma would agree that it goes to the Mizbeach. So even Rabbi Eliezer will agree, if all you have there are animals that are ruining the Mizbeach, and you makdish it, he definitely meant hekdesh l'mizbeach. Because here you can be, number one, consistent. You don't have two different types of dusha. And number two is, if he has a choice between Mizbeach and a Bedek HaBayit, when you're dealing with animals, you're assuming that they're going to go to the Mizbeach. So therefore, everybody would agree there that it goes to the Mizbeach. Where do you have a machloket is when he's makdish nechazav, and amongst those nechazim are animals as well as other items. There he says you got to be consistent. Now, Rabbi Abba, who's also a third generation Amor in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Huna b'shem Rav, he brings over that member of Rav Huna Amarav from Bavel, he brings it over differently. So you have two Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael quoting a member of Amar Rav Huna Amarav from Bavel. And he quotes the memra in this way, which is, Ma pligin, where do they argue? B'magdish edro. When you're magdish the eder, that's where they argue. When you're magdish stam at the eder, they argue whether it goes to Bedek HaBayit or whether it goes to the Mizbeach. Aval, b'magdish nechasav, if you're magdish nechasim, kol amam odyei yishu the Bedek HaBayit. Everybody agrees that it goes to Bedek HaBayit. Now, first of all, from our Mishnah, that can't be the case. If you read our Mishnah, there's no way you could come to that conclusion because our Mishnah is pretty clear. It's Makdish et Nechasav, and amongst the Nechasim are the Behemoth. So it's pretty clear that you're not just being Makdish Edro in our Mishnah. That's number one. Number two is Rabbi Akiva says, Roe Ani et Divrei Rabbi Lezer Kashi Shvad Midotav. What do you mean he shvad midotav? Because he had both items that go to the Mizbeach and items that go to Bedek HaBayit. Therefore he made everything Bedek HaBayit. So it's clear they're not learning out of the Mishnah. If this is a position that Rav really took, it's based on a Tosefta, it's based on people who argue on this whole position here, he'd have to find another Tanaic source to support it. Because it's clear our Mishnah does not really support that reading. The reading in the Mishnah would simply be like the first statement of Rabbi Huna Merav, which is it's by Nechasim and not by Edro. Whereas if you say it's by Edro and not by Nechasim, that wouldn't fit into our Mishnah. You obviously have to find a Tana that sets up the Machloket in a different way. So now the Gemara says, Aldate de Rabbi Zeira, according to Rabbi Zeira, who brought the first way that Rabbi Huna Merav says, Necha, that makes sense. V'kashal de Rabbi Abba. According to Rabbi Abba, who brought us the second version of Rabbi Huna Merav, it's a problem, which is this statement, Behema, Lodim is Be'achi? Isn't a Behema, when you think about a Behema, where's the Stam position that you're going to put in a Behema? Is to the Mizbeach. So then the Gemara says, you're right. Stam Behema is the Mizbeach, which would be the logic behind why the first statement, which is from Rabbi Zeira, said that when it's Magdish Edro, everybody thinks it goes to the Mizbeach, was based on that. Stam animals go to the Mizbeach. So how are we going to explain for Rabbi Abba over here that says there's going to be a Machaloket by Stam animals? The answer is, you're right. Behema, the Mizbeachi. A stam animal goes to Be'achi. V'lama sota ma'ish hazeh. Why did this person just say hekdesh? If he knows that animals go to the Mizbeach, he should have said, I'm the makdish on the Mizbeach, I'm makdish for an olah or shlamim. The fact that he used the lashon of makdish stam tells us already that he had something else in mind. Because he didn't specify the Mizbeach knowing that it's the Mizbeach. The fact that he was
ambiguous
over here. And we don't know what he meant. We're going to assume that Makdish, where he didn't specify Mizbeach, is because he's trying to do something besides what would have been the default over here. So now, Shomer, lo yeh, lo Bedek HaBayit. When he says, I'm Makdish these items, then he must mean for Bedek HaBayit because he knows they should go to the Mizbeach. And despite that fact, he said Makdish without saying they're going to the Mizbeach. So that must mean that he's trying to do something besides what is the default status of the animals.
Why don't we say the exact opposite?
Right, I hear you. You could argue that way. The Gemara seems to think that if a person knows it's going to Mizbeach, that it should specify. That's the way that you would specify Hekdesh. You'd say, Makdish these for Olot. You would have qualified your Hekdesh and said in that manner. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lo Shanyo. Yochanan says, I don't agree. This isn't right. Doesn't make a difference. So Rabbi Yochanan actually becomes a third position over here. We have the position of Rabbi Zeira in the name of Rav Huna Merav. We have Rabbi Abba in the name of Rav Huna Merav. And now we have Rabbi Yochanan who argues on both of their positions. Basically, Rabbi Yochanan is arguing on Rav. And Rabbi Yochanan says, He, Hamakdish Nechasav. He, Hamakdish Edro. He hamachloket. Doesn't matter if you makdish all your nechasim. Doesn't matter if you just makdish your animals. The machloket is consistent in all these places. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua argue in all of these instances, both when you makdish all your possessions and their animals and other things amongst them, and as well as when you makdish just your animals. The machloket exists in both places. So that's against both positions that we saw before. But Rabbi Yochanan argues on Rav. In that case, now we have three positions. Now we move on. Rav Huna b'shem Rav. So Rav Huna b'shem Rav, which is from Bavel. And now we have Rabbi Abou b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Abou was a third generation Amora in Eretz Yisrael. The name of Rabbi Yochanan, who is a second generation Amora in Eretz Yisrael. So you have the Babylonian Mesorah, which is Rav Huna Marav. And then you have the Eretz Yisrael Mesorah, which is Rabbi Abou b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. Kodshei Berek Abayit Shepod'an Tmimim Yatsu L'chulin. When you redeem the Kodshei Berek Abayit that are Tmimim, they go out to Chulin. Now we know that when it comes to Kodshei Mizbeach, with regards to Kodshei Mizbeach, if you redeem them, it doesn't do anything. You have to wait for them to get a mum, so they're disqualified from the Mizbeach, and then you can redeem them and transfer the Kedusha. Because once they get a mum on them, they are then for their monetary value. Since they are then for their monetary value, you can exchange the Kedusha onto money. While they don't have a mum in them, they're tmimim, they're ruin the Mizbeach. You can't get the Kedusha off of them because they're not open for monetization. They're there to get on the Mizbeach. So the logic here is, if I have these animals, like in Rabbi Lezer's opinion, I have these animals which I'm going to now sell to utilize for Berek Abayit. So the purpose of these animals now is to be monetized. So since the purpose of the animals is to be monetized, and the Kedusha is only Kedushat Berek Abayit, I can redeem them without getting a mum in there. Because by definition, Kodshei Berek Abayit are for their monetization. So even though they are ruling them as Be'ach, nevertheless, when I redeem them, I can redeem them without ever getting a mum in them. So that's their position. Their position is, unlike Kodshei Mizbeach, where if you redeem them, you need to have a mum, by Kodshei Berek Abayit, you don't need a mum in the animal, you can redeem it without a mum in there. Matznita Amra Kain. We have support for that from the Mishnah. Now, they quote over here is a Mishnah, which is Vadan V'Chalavan. In our Gemara, we have written Mutar L'Achar Pidjonan. Is Mutar after you redeem them. Here you have a statement that says that the Chalav, which is the milk, and Vadan and their babies are Mutar after the Pidjon, after you redeem them. So the assumption here is, the proof that they are trying to bring from this is that the fact that it's Mutar after the fact gives you assessment of the situation, which is they redeemed it, and now it's mutar. Right? That is a Mishnah from Chulin.
That Mishnah in Chulin is speaking about an instance where the Behemah already had a mum, and you were magdish it with the existing mum. Meaning the Kedusha came after the mum. And it's talking about Kodshei Mizbeach. The question is how to apply it over here. So the Karmana Eida says that it's a bitmiah, that it's actually not a proof, but rather a question on this position, which says that when you have a Baal Mum Kavua, where you already has a mum in it, and you redeem it, only after it's redeemed are the Chalav and the Vlad Mutarim, after you do the redemption. But if you had a tamim and it was the Berek Abayit, who says that it would go out without any problem? It seems from that Mishnah in Chulin that the mum is an integral part of the pidyon. That's the way the Karbana Ida reads it. It's a very difficult reading of the statement of the Yerushalmi over here. The Tiklan Chadatin tries to work it out that it is actually a proof to the situation over here. And he says, well, we know that Kodshei Mizbeach, that started out with the mum and only got the Hekdesh afterwards, is on a higher level than a Tamim that is the Berek Avayit. And therefore, Chazinan, the Maskana de Gemara, according to the Tiklan Chadatin, that the Bali Mumim de Mizbeach, Harmire Mitmimim de Berek Avayit, Mada. And therefore, what's stated in that Mishnah means that is only after Pidyon. But for the Tmimim Berek Abayit, you don't even need Pidyon for that to free up the Chalav and to free up the Vlad. In addition to that, you don't need a Mum in order to redeem it. Those are the ways the Mefarshim here try to explain or deal with this Gemara.
The truth is that probably in the original Gesot of the Yerushalmi, it actually said Asur L'Achor Pidyonan here. And if you say Asur L'Achor Pidyonan here, they're really quoting the same Mishnah from Temura. And the Mishnah from Temura says about the Kodshei Mizbeach, it says Vadan V'Chalavan Asur L'Achor Pidyonan. They are Asur after their Pidyon, implying that for Kodshei Berek Abayit, they are Mutar L'Achor Pidyonan. Because the Mishnah in Temura says Yesh b'kodshei mizbeach, ma shem b'kodshei berek abayit. Shekodshei mizbeach, vladan v'chalavan asur. Lachar pidyonan, even after the redeem, ma she'en kein b'kodshei berek abayit. Which is not true by kodshei berek abayit, which would imply that the din that's noeg by kodshei mizbech is not noeg by kodshei berek abayit, and that it's much easier to redeem kodshei berek abayit, which is that when you have kodshei mizbech that were impregnated or milked prior to the redemption, then you redeem them, the milk and the baby still remain kadosh. That is not true when it comes to kodshei berek abayit, since they're only kadosh for their monetary value. The kedusha doesn't reach the point that if they become impregnated before they're redeemed, or if they were milked before they're redeemed, as soon as they're redeemed, everything goes out to the chulin. And therefore, too, over here, since that kedusha is a lower kshaybe berek abayit, they should not require a mum in order to redeem them. So that would be the proof to this position of Yochanan and Rav that you can redeem them while they are still tamimim. Now, Rav Chizkiya, the fourth generation Amora, b'shem Rav Chista, who is a second, third generation Amora in Bavel, Tipater. We can explain this case, b'shabat an tamimim b'hum amu. Okay, it doesn't say it, but the case is that they got a mum and they were redeemed. The Gra changes the gear here to read that they were humumu and then they were redeemed, but the truth is that that's what it means here. Meaning of this statement is that they got a mum and then they redeemed them. Okay, it doesn't say that, but that's the procedure that's there. Who says that the case is here that they were redeemed without a mum in them? Maybe they were redeemed with a mum just like it is by Kodshei Mizbech. We're talking about things that are similar to Kodshei Mizbech. By Kodshei Mizbech, you need a mum and you redeem them. So when the Mishnah said redeem, it knows that you know what that is from Kodshei Mizbech. Therefore, it means to redeem them with a mum, because that would be consistent within the Mishnah. The Mishnah only gives one form of redemption there, which is after a mum, like Kodshei Berek Abayit. Then we have Rabbi Yosef, who is a fourth generation Amora in Eretz Yisrael, B'shem Rav Chista, a second, third generation Amora in Bavel, that we have a proof from the Mishnah. Matnitan Amra, our Mishnah says, with regards to Kodshei Mizbech, Amra Kain supports this, that Vladan v'chalavan asur l'achar pidyonan. That when it comes to Kodshei Mizbech, that after they're redeemed, they are asur v'pidyonan. Now here again, this is a proof that their Vlad and their Chalav are asur after pidyonan when it comes to Kodshei Mizbeach. And therefore, the Mishnayot there are speaking about something that involves, you have to get a mum, and then be redeemed, and only after that does it release the Kedusha. So same thing here by Kodshei Berek HaBayit. Now again, it's the way that we have it in the Gemara, it's the Mishnah from Temura, but if you read it the other way, it would be the Mishnah from Chulin, which would say this, Kol HaKodeshim Shekadam Mum Kavu LaHekdeshan, any Kodeshim where the Mum is there prior to the Hekdesh, Vinivdu, and they're redeemed, Yotzim the Chulin. They go out to Chulin, Vladan V'chalavan Mutar L'achar Pidyonan. Then everything is Mutar afterwards. So behemot that are mukdash l'mizbeach, where they have a mum in them beforehand, then they really have kedushat tamim and not kedushat aguf. And when you have kedushat tamim and not kedushat aguf, you're able to redeem the items, and all the chalav and the baby, everything goes out together. So you see from this that it has a lower form of kedushah, kedushat tamim, and the same will be true here. That our case, where you're going to redeem them for the berek abayit, they'll go out to chulin, even though they don't have a mum. Alright, now, Rabbi Chizkiya, B'shem Rabbi Yosei. Now we have Rabbi Chizkiya in the name of Rabbi Yosei. Before we had Rabbi Chizkiya, name of Rav Chista, who said that he rejects the proof that that Mishnah was a proof to the fact that they go out tzmimim. But now we have Rabbi Chizkiya coming and quoting Rabbi Yosei, fourth generation Amora in Eretz Yisrael. He actually takes up their position. So even though he agrees with their position, he disagrees with the proof that they brought. So imtaymar, because, and now here's his proof. Imtaymar lo yetsu lechulin, hea kodshe bizbeach halin o kodshe berek abayit. Because if you don't say that, you're in a big problem. Our Mishnah says, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you sell the items for people to utilize as olot and shlamim. So what exactly is the case over here? If they're going to be utilized for olot and shlamim, they got to be tmimim. That means that this person sold them off to these people, and then he got the money, and the money goes to berek abayit. So you're going to say to me, well, oh, you have to wait for a mum now for them not to lose their kedusha. Well, is that true? Then how are these people going to use them as olot and shlamim? It can't be. The only way that they can make these things into kodshei mizbech and utilize them is if the kodshei berek abayit is cleared from them. The only way that happens is if you redeem them while they're tamimim, they get cleared. It says that's the proof from our Mishnah. Otherwise, it's not going to work. The whole suggestion of Rabbi Lezer of the Mishnah is not going to work unless you say that kodshei berek abayit that are redeemed get cleared entirely.
They had a mum and they wouldn't be able to bring them up.
Right. If they have a mum in them, then why are they buying them for karbanot? They're not useful for karbanot anymore. Right. So then, balei mumin kodshei mizbeach aleihem. This is a separate statement, which is, if you have a baal mum, and then you try to be makdish at the mizbeach, you're not allowed to do that. An animal that has a mum in it is not roi the mizbeach. You're supposed to be makdish at the berek abayit. If you makdish at the mizbeach, you're actually in violation of a whole bunch of levim. But if you do it, does it work? If you're makdish the kodesh mizbeach, does it work? So that's what the Gemara is asking. But mumi kodesh mizbeach chalayhem, is it? So the Gemara says yes, it's chalayhem. Laida milo, for what reason? For what dusha do they have over here? It has a mum in it. If you're makdish the mizbeach, what type of effect does it have on the animal that's different than kodesh berakabayit? In both cases, you're going to monetize the animal, sell it off, and then use the proceeds. So what's the big deal that has kodesh mizbeach? The Gemara says the giza vila avuda. The difference between kodesh mizbeach and kodesh berakabayit. With regards to kodesh mizbeach, giza and avodah asurim, the shearings and doing work the animal are asur when it's kodesh mizbeach. For kodesh berakabayit, giza and avodah are mutarim. That's midoraita at least. And according to many, also even with regards to kodesh mizbeach, the iser giza and avodah is only midirabanan as well. Now when we say that it's not asur begiza avodah midoraita, only midirabanan, that's because it's kadam mum kavua. That's when the mum kavua was there beforehand. So then it's mutar begiza avodah, but asur midivrehem. On the other hand, if it's a proper kavam kedushat aguf, then it's completely asur begiza avodah even midoraita, because that the pasuk already says. Which is lo tavo b'b'chor sherecha, but lo tagoz b'chor tzonecha. Again, kodesh berakabayit are not asurim b'giza avodah, but according to Rabbi Elazar, midrabanan, they are asurim b'giza avodah. But either way, what the distinction they're drawing is that by giza avodah, by kodesh mizbeach, that will preclude you doing giza avodah, versus had it been kodesh berakabayit, then you would have been allowed to do giza avodah. So placing this kedushat mizbeach on top of something that has a mumen already gives you an additional level of kedusha that giza and avodah become problematic. Right now we have hifrish nekeva leodato ulepischo ulehashamo. It's mafrish nekeva, female animal, for three different karmanot that only come from males. An ola only comes from a zachar, pesach only comes from a zachar, and Hashem only comes from a zachar. It's only an ayil or a kevis, and therefore he is mafrish nekeva. What's the story with this nekeva? We have oseh tmura. So that makes tmura. I mean, it takes on a full level of kedusha to the point where if you try to exchange it onto another animal, it has full-fledged kedusha, and therefore it can transfer that kedusha over. I mean, it takes on kedusha ta mizbeach. Even though it's not ru'uyah the mizbeach because it's a nekeva, nevertheless, it takes on the level of kodshe mizbeach. And therefore, you could transfer, if you try to transfer kedusha off of it, it'll have that level of kedusha. So now Rabbi Shimon Omer, Le'odlato oset mura, le'pischo le'shamo ain oset mura. For an ola, it does create tmura, but for a pesach and hasham, it does not create tmura. Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Amar Mishum Rabbi Shimon, he quotes Rabbi Shimon's dea this way, which is, le'to le'pischo le'shamo ain oset mura. He's consistent that none of them make tmura over here. It doesn't matter for ola, it doesn't matter for hasham, it doesn't matter for pesach. Doesn't make tmura, it never attains that level of kedusha because you got the wrong animal in here. And so by definition, it's already not reaching the level of kodesh mizbeach. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, time with Rabbi Shimon. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Shimon's position? He says, because I find a manifestation of nekeva in ola, therefore the nekeva can attain the full level of kedusha of an ola. So since there is a manifestation of nekeva by ola, which is by an oaf, by a bird, we're gender neutral, we don't care what gender you pick. So therefore you can have an ola that comes as a bird that's a nekeva. So there is a concept of nekeva in ola. So therefore if you're makdish the nekeva for an ola, it's going to be tofesh the kedusha and become like a real kedusha to ola. On the other hand, by the Pesach and Hashem, we never find a manifestation of a nekeva. I'll give you the reasoning behind Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. So I gave you the reason behind Rabbi Shimon's position. Now I'll give you the position of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, who said in the name of Rabbi Shimon, that none of them act dusha. Im min bimino hu chaluk alav, koshvei min shebeinu mino. If he argues about him when it is within the same species, then certainly when it's not the same gender, then it should be a problematic. Ezo min bimino. What is this case of min bimino where he argues? Shehu chaluk alav, that he argues on them. Where does Rabbi Shimon argue about this? Kehada titani. That's like what we have in the Braita. Asham ben shana. If you're supposed to bring an asham that's 1 year old, vevi ben shtayim. Instead, you brought a 2 year old asham. Ben shtayim. It's supposed to be 2 years old, vevi ben shalosh. Instead, you brought a 3 year old. Lo yatsa. It's not yotze. They're not kadosh at all. Most ashamot are an ayo. An ayo is a kevis that's 2 years old. So that's the ayo. So now, if he brings a animal that's too old, so it doesn't qualify as an ayo, or he brings an animal that's too young, it's ben shana, which is a kevis, then he's not yotzei. So over there, what you're talking about, he brought a male animal, He just got the age wrong, and Rabbi Shimon says there's no Kedusha over there. That's mean but me, no. Now here where you're bringing in a Keva, instead of a Zachar, you think Rabbi Shimon's gonna think that in a Keva takes on a level of Kedusha? Certainly not. He has no level of Kedusha. And that's why Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda believes that Rabbi Shimon's position is that in a Keva does not attain Kedusha whatsoever, because much difference. Here, where he just had an age difference, he says no go. Certainly where there's a gender difference, he's gonna say no go. The Girsa over here should probably be with regards to the Asham, if he brought a 2-year-old instead of a 1-year-old.
Asham ben Shana, vei ben Shtayim. Instead of bringing a Keves, he brought an Ayol, Yatsa. On the other hand, ben Shtayim, if he was supposed to bring an Ayol, vei ben Shalosh, and then he brought above that age a 3-year-old, in that case, lo Yatsa.
Because Ashamot only come as an Ayol and a Keves. A Keves is 1 year old, and an Ayol is a 2 years old. 3-year-old is not really relevant, because there is no status of 3-year-old with regards to Keves. Most of Shemot come from an Ayo, and there are a couple like Yasham Mitzora and Yasham Nazir that come as a Keves. So if he mixed them up, that's what we're speaking about over here.
And so basically, this proves that point of Rabbi Yochanan, which is that if he brought, instead of a Keves, he brought an Ayo, he's Yotzei. He's Yotzei because there is an Ayo within the world of Hashem. On the other hand, if he was supposed to bring an Ayo, and instead he brought a Ben Shalosh, which is totally out of the world of the Hashem, then he's not Yotzei. And Rabbi Shimon over there disagrees and says that even a Ben Shana cannot be utilized for a Ben Shtayim. So even Min Bimino, where all you're switching is from a Keves to an Ayol, Rabbi Shimon says that you're not Yotzei, there is no Kedusha. Then certainly over here, when you're switching from a Zachar to an Ekeva, there of course, Rabbi Shimon's going to believe that there is no Kedusha.
I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yeshua, Shnehem Amru Dovar Echad. Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Shimon are of a consistent opinion. Kama, the Rabbi Yeshua Amar, just like Rabbi Yeshua says, Nekeva Leola, Lo kidsha el hekdesh tamim. If you say an ekevas for an olah, then do you not kod mekadesh except for its monetary value? Kain Rabbi Shimon amar nekevat lo olah lo kidsha el hekdesh tamim. You too only attains a monetary value, never attains the kodshei mizbeach level. So that's what he says here. Rabbi Shimon, who says that when you're makdish a nekevat, does not attain kodshei mizbeach. You can't make it into tmura because it doesn't attain that level of kodshei mizbeach. So too, that's what Rabbi Yeshua says. Rabbi Yeshua says that you cannot attain that level of Kiddusha of Kodesh Mizbeach when you're Makdish Nekeva. Therefore, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Shimon are of the same opinion. In Tamar, because if you say Kodesh Kiddusha the Guf, if it's Kodesh Kiddusha Guf, Iru, they'd have to go out and graze until you redeem them. Fact is that we don't ask them to go out to graze, we redeem them right away.
And therefore, Rabbi Yeshua of our Mishnah is consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon that we see over here, which is that a Nekeva never reaches Kedushat Guf, therefore it cannot create Murah, according to Rabbi Shimon, and according to Rabbi Yeshua, you don't have to wait for a moment, you can redeem it immediately in order to use the proceeds for an Olah.
So now, Amar Rabbi. Rabbi says, Ani roeh divrei Rabbi Shimon bePesach. I agree with Rabbi Shimon with regards to Pesach. Shomoter Pesach baShlamim. Because I think that a Motar Pesach comes as a Shlamim. Veleima. And let him say, Ain't any right to Rabbi Shimon Hashem. Why doesn't he say it the other way around, which is, I don't agree with Rabbi Shimon ba Hashem. Shamot or Hashem ba Ola. Because excess Hashem goes to be an Ola. So since a Motar Pesach goes to be a Shlamim, I agree with Rabbi Shimon over there that the Pesach does not attain a level of Kedusha when you bring it as a Nekeva. It doesn't reach the level of Kodesh Mizbeach. On the other hand, when I bring an Asham as a Nekeva, I do think it attains the value or the Kedusha of Kodesh Mizbeach, because the leftovers of an Asham go towards being an Olah. So Amar Avin, Rabbi Avin says, wait a minute. Imigdish Pesach Bashlamim Gufo Karev Shlamim. Wait a minute. You said before, if he's Ikdish a Pesach, when you have a Motor Pesach, or anything with Pesach goes Shlamim, Gufo Karev Shlamim. It itself ends up being a Shlamim. Imigdish Asham Ba'olah. When you say that an Hashem goes as an Olah, that's not it going as an Olah. You have to sell it off. To wait for it to get a mom, sell it off, and then use the monies and bring an Olah. So I would have thought just the opposite. I would have thought that by Shlamim it makes more sense, by Pesach it makes more sense than the Keva has Kedushat Mizbeach. Because if it never gets used as a Pesach, it'll turn into a Shlamim, which could be a Nekeva. Or it'll remain a Korban, meaning that it turns into a real Korban. The Pesach itself becomes a Korban Shlamim. And so the Gufa Karban remains a Karban, so there I would say it should attain Kodesh Mizbeach. On the other hand, by an Asham, yes, it transfers into an Olah. It itself doesn't become an Olah. It's exchanged, sold out, and then purchased for, they use the monies to purchase an olah. So it itself never gets to be an olah, and it never goes on the mizbeach. So maybe over there I should say the opposite. I'd see the opposite of you, Rabbi, which is, I think that by a sham it makes sense. It is like Rabbi Shimon, and by Pesach it is not like Rabbi Shimon. Just the opposite of what Rabbi said. Now, I read it the way that we have it printed in our Gemaras. But the truth is that the way it really should be in Divrei Rabbi, and would make the whole Gemara make more sense, is that Amar Rabbi Ani Ro'eh should be really Ani Ro'eh. And that means that I do not agree with Rabbi Shimon Legabei Pesach. Because Shema Ekdesh Pesach Bashlamim. Because a Pesach turns into a Shlamim. And since a Pesach turns into a Shlamim, it makes sense that the Nekeva should take on the Dushata Mizbeach. So then the Gemara asks on Divrei Rabbi and says, well, Velo Ere'eh Divrei Rabbi Shimon Basham. Then why does Rabbi agree with Rabbi Shimon when it comes to an Asham? Because over there, Shemekdesh Asham Ba'olah. That an Asham turns into an Olah. So just like over here where the Pesach turns into a Shlamim, he says that it should attain Kedushat Mizbeach, and Asham that turns into an Olah, if you bring in a Kevah, it should also attain Kedushat Mizbeach. And then comes along Rabbi Avin and says, I'll explain to you the difference. The difference is by Pesach, it itself turns into a Shlamim. And therefore, the Nekevah as a Pesach will attain full Kedushat Mizbeach, because that animal itself will become the Shlamim. On the other hand, by the Asham, which is going to turn into an Olah, that Asham itself will not turn into an Olah. And therefore, the Asham has to be monetized and then changed into an Olah. If that's the case, then the Asham will not attain that Kedushat HaMizbeach. And therefore, Rabbi Avin is coming to explain the position of Rabbi, why Rabbi differentiated between Pesach and Asham, and they're both the same opinion, which is that by Pesach, the Nekeva should have Kedushat HaMizbeach, and by an Asham, the Nekeva will not attain the Kedushat HaMizbeach. And if you look in the Karban Ehidah, that's actually the Girsa that he has, which is Hakar Sina, Amar Rabbi Ein Ani Ro'eh. He says that's the way it is in the Bavli, that I do not agree with him. And then the Parich, when they come to ask the question is, Vilema lo ered v'rab Rabbi Shimon Asham. I don't agree with Rabbi Shimon by Asham. So if you flip the gear so over here, the Yushami reads much smoother and it makes a lot more sense. Because otherwise before we were trying to force an explanation into Rabbi's position as to why he would differentiate between a Pesach and an Asham, saying that by a Pesach, since it will come a Shlamim in the end, therefore it's not good as a Nekeva by Asham, because it becomes an Olah, and we said before that Olah has a Shaykhut to Nekeva, therefore we're going to say that over there it is Kadosh. That's a very hard explanation of the Yerushalmi, and here if you change the Girsa, it flows much more smoothly. Mao Kedon, what's the din that separates between it? What's the underlying Machloket? Ha'ena mar Hekdesh Damim Hekdesh. He says that when you're magdish it, the nekeva, you have in mind to monetize it. That you intended for me for ekdesh gufo. And so that's the core underlying machloket over here between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon are arguing about when you magdish the item, what do you have in mind? Do you have in mind to monetize it, or do you have in mind that you really want to make this into a korban? Oh, whoops, it's a nekeva, then I have to deal with it. Now we have Rabbi Ze'ira B'Shem Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, which is equivalent of Rabbi Ze'ura, who is a third generation Amora in Eretz Yisrael, is quoting Reish Lakish, who's a second generation Amora in Eretz Yisrael. Time of the Rabbi Yoshua. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Yoshua? Because it says, Daber el Aron ve'el Benav ve'el Kol Bnei Yisrael, v'amarta lehem, Ish Ish mi Beit Yisrael. So I'll read you the whole pasuk, which is, Daber el Aron ve'el Benav ve'el Kol Bnei Yisrael, v'amarta lehem, Ish Ish mi Beit Yisrael. Una men ager b'Yisrael, asher yakriv korbano, l'chol nidrehem, u'l'chol nidvotam, asher yakrivu l'Hashem ol'olah. That they bring to Hashem will be for an olah. So he's focusing on l'chol nidrehem, l'chol nidvotam. All donations, basically he's going to read the pasuk, become a olah. And that's what he says over here. Which is the reason behind Rabbi Yeshua is, kol karev le'olah. Everything goes to be an olah. L'rtzonchem tamim zachar, the next pasuk after that says, L'rtzonchem tamim zachar babakar b'ksavim u'ba'izim. So now he darshens that. Minayin afilu nekevot. How do I know that even nekevot? Because the pasuk says, L'rtzonchem tamim zachar. How do I know nekeva goes to be a korban olah? Tarmid lomar babakar. Babakar l'rabot eta nekevot. Because bakar. Now, truth is, how do you get that out of the pasuk? And that's what Rabbi Yitzchak says right now. Rabbi Yitzchak says, I don't understand. Rabbi Yitzchak, Bei Rabbi Lazar, Sha'al, Tiv Zachar, But Amart Babakar, there are both of the Nekevot. You said, the Pasuk explicitly says Zachar, and you say Bakar comes to include a Nekeva. Udekavate, Tiv Tamim. I'll tell you another drasha. The Pasuk says Tamim. Vatamart Babakar, there are both Balimumim. So I have, the Pasuk says Zachar and Tamim, and you tell me Bakar tells you, oh, it's not literal. That Zachar doesn't mean, Zachar means also Nekeva. So I'll say this
further.
Right, so I'll say, oh, Tamim doesn't really mean it because it says Bakar, it also means Balimumim. Ma Benihon. And I say, what's the difference between him? He's really right. So Rav Amar, Shifta Dikadgada Benehon. It's like the staff of the loom that's between them. The staff of the loom, which is used to separate out the string so you can throw the shuttle through them. So there's a big gap between them. What's that gap? Right, so they don't give you that. So I'll read you what the Taklin Chadatin says is the difference between them, which is, Klomar, Hevdel Yesh Benem Nikar, V'chein Lo Piresh. V'ayinu Taima, De'Babakar Stamo Mashmo, Gam Nikevot. If you were to take Bakar independent, out of context here, Bakar would mean cattle, which would mean Zachar or Nikreya, as Iris says, Shruim Gam Kein LeKorban, which in other circumstances are Ruim LeKorban. Because it says in the Pasuk, Imin Bakar Hu Makriv, Im Zachar V'Nikeva, Tamim Yakrivenu. By Shlamim, you have that option by Bakar to split it between Zachar and Nekeva. Marbinim Bakar, Dumiya de Korban, Shei Tamim, Viraui le Korban Acher. Avalarui Bakar, Bali Mumim, Lomash Maklau. The word Bakar embedded in it doesn't have any meaning of Baal Mum. There are other places Bakar means Nekeva, but there are no other places that Bakar means Baal Mum. But Bakar, when you say Stam Bakar, we're not going to assume that means Bali Mumim. Nowhere else does Bakar mean Bali Mumim. Anytime we're talking about Korban, we're talking about a Tamim. And so that'll be the distinction between these two Limudim. And that explained to us why Rabbi Yeshua believes that Nekeva goes Li Ola, meaning that in our Mishnah, when he says that, your Makdish, the Zecharim themselves go to be Olot, and the Nekevot gets sold off to be utilized for Olot. He learns it out of this Pasuk that all of your Nedarim go Li Ola, and the Ola means, even by Nekeva, because of Babakar, even Nekevot go Li Ola. Now, the way I read it was based on that this line here by Rav is a continuation of the previous sugya. In the Girsa of the Rishalmi, there's actually a term that says Ma Beneson, or Ma Benehon. What is between them? What's the difference between them? And this becomes an independent statement. It's not connected to the previous Gemara. That means that the previous Gemara is left unresolved. That question of what's the difference between Babakar to include Nekeva versus Bakar to include Balat Mum, there we have no answer to that question, and we leave it unresolved. Gemara now moves on to another question, which is, Ma Benehon, what is the difference between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar's position in the Mishnah? So then we have two ways to explain it. One is Rav Amar Shifta Dekarkeda, which is probably the right pronunciation over here. Shifta Dekarkedo Benehon, that's the difference between them. So that is that, as we explained above, that piece of wood that is used in the weaving process to open up the strings on the loom to send the shuttle through it. The difference between them is actually a piece of wood, which is that if you donate Gizrei Etzim, if you donate wood to the Mikdash, that'll be the difference between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar seem to have a similar opinion, which is Rabbi Yeshua says that anything that's ra'oi the Mizbeach goes on the Mizbeach. And that's what seems that Rabbi Elazar says as well. So what's the difference between them? The difference between them is if they brought Gizrei Etzim, if one of the items in their possessions were pieces of wood, like Shevet or a Karkad, according to one of them, most likely according to Rabbi Elazar, then you would sell the wood and then bring with the proceeds Olot. On the other hand, most likely Rabbi Yeshua would believe that you would go with the rest of his possessions and drop into the pile that goes to the Bedek Habayit. That's one possible explanation of Bam Benehon. The other possible explanation of Bam Benehon is, what is the difference between the position Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah? What's the nafka mina between them? And then the answer to that is, Rav Amar Shifta Dikarkeda Benehon. That's the difference between them. It's probably the wrong girsa. The girsa probably should be Mashchin the Kanaya. Mashchin the Kanaya means the skins to the Kohanim, as to whether the skins go to the Kohanim. And that is, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that you sell the male animals, Litzrichen Olot, then the Olot go to the Kohanim, like any other Olah that's brought. And Rabbi Eliezer's opinion here really derives from the position that we saw above, which is, according to Rabbi Yochanan and Rav, that when you're Podet Mimim, the Berek Abayit, when you redeem these items, then they are redeemed entirely. So that's what happens over here. When we deem these animals to be used for Olot, they're completely chulin. And so all the money that comes out is chulin. And when you go and purchase Olot with them, it's like any other Olah. And because it's like any other Olah, therefore the skins go to the Kohanim. But according to Rabbi Yeshua, who says the Zecharim themselves go on the Mizbeach, he thinks that everything that goes to the Mizbeach goes to the Mizbeach. Anything that's not really the Mizbeach goes to Bedek HaBayit. And therefore, the skins that come off of these animals, after you bring those Zecharim directly to the Mizbeach, then the skins will be sold and the proceeds given to Bedek HaBayit. And that'll be the nafkamina between Rabbi Lez and Rabbi Yeshua with regards to the Zecharim. What is the difference between whether if you're makriv the Zecharim directly on the Mizbeach, or you sell them and the proceeds you bring alone? That's the difference. The difference is, do the Kohanim get the skins or not? According to Rabbi Eliezer, the answer is yes, they do get the skins, because it's like any other Korban Olah that goes on the Mizbeach. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Yehoshua, who says that they go directly on the Mizbeach, because that's his intent, that they go Kodesh Lashem and entirely to Hashem, the way to ensure that they're entirely to Hashem is to put the Olah on the Mizbeach, and the skins will go towards Bedek HaBayit, and therefore everything goes towards Hashem. So that's the alternative way to read this part of the Yerushalmi, not connecting it to the previous statement. Okay, we'll stop over here.